We are all familiar with the critique of religious faith, that it is blind and ignorant of science. One often hears the term God of the gaps used by atheists to show that as science advances, there is less room for God, because when we can explain things scientifically, then God is no longer needed. The idea is that believers just wedge God into all the gaps in our scientific knowledge to explain those things we don't know yet, but as time goes on, those gaps are filled with rational explanation, hence no need for God. The presumption here is that God was invented by man to explain natural phenomena that he couldn't explain because he was dumb and superstitious. He would see lightning and think it must be a god throwing lightning bolts down, for example. While there were many ancient pagan cultures who ascribed things in nature to various gods, this is what atheists and skeptics think is still the worldview of people who believe in God. This is where the all-important concept of something called secondary causality comes in. We have already shown that God is the first cause of all that exists, that he is being itself, the reason why everything exists at every moment. When we talk about secondary causality, we are saying that God directs the natural course of his creation not directly by particular interventions on his part, which is what occurs in miracles, but by means of subordinate causes. God gives being to everything, but he also gives them their own particular natures, which have specific powers and are inclined to certain ends. While we call them secondary because finally they get their existence and power to act as causes from God, the first cause, natural causes are real causes in their own right. God causes things in nature to happen according to the natures of the things involved. A theist doesn't think that God makes rain magically appear in the sky. The whole natural process of evaporation and precipitation acts in its own right according to the natures of the things involved, gravity, water, heat, air pressure, etc. We can say in a real, though remote way, that God is making it rain, but he is doing so through secondary causes. And likewise for all the other natural phenomena. God is the reason for their existence and for their natures and causal power, but they act according to their particular natures and the various laws that govern the natural world. This is the whole reason why science is possible, and why it only truly flowered in the context of the Christian faith. Pagan cultures which experienced great advances in science eventually reached a standstill, because they were tied to the idea of gods governing natural phenomena according to their whim, and thus they were not seen as predictable and ordered. Even the scientific advancement in medieval Islamic culture was eventually stunted because of the emphasis on God's capricious will, rather than on the rational, stable order which was the product of the divine mind. For such cultures, the reason why the planets move the way they do, or gravity works the way it does, is just because of God's will, by a more direct intervention and causality, and he could just as easily tomorrow make it work completely differently, and there is nothing in the things themselves nor their natures that necessitate they act in a particular way or that makes them real causes. But science relies on the presumption of order and predictability for it to be a possible, worthwhile pursuit. With this background, we can see why Christendom is the source and basis of nearly all the most essential components of our modern technological scientific culture. It was the Christian faith that understood that creation was ordered, reasonable, understandable on its own, that it was not the product of capricious gods, and that we were made in God's image with minds so that we can come to know God through his creation. Without these truths, science is impossible. Most atheists oppose science to the Christian faith, but that is because they don't really reflect on what science is. They can certainly engage in science successfully, because the world is ordered and predictable and knowable. But it shouldn't be, on their account of things. There should be no reason to believe that the world would make any sense, or that it would be the same tomorrow as it is today, that the same laws govern it always, and that we have minds capable of accurately understanding it. None of this is possible on an atheistic worldview, though they can ignore that and carry on with science, pretending as if a random chaotic world of matter spontaneously produces predictable and elegant laws, along with minds that can comprehend them somehow. Look into the history of any scientific discipline: chemistry, biology, astronomy, geology, mathematics, genetics, optics, physics, and you will likely find that either the beginnings or the first great advances in those disciplines occurred within the Catholic culture under the patronage of the Church and by true believers, oftentimes even monks, nuns, and priests. But how could this be if, as the modern internet atheist says, religious people are ignorant and just blindly believe? Because the actual blindness is in those who engage in science without knowing even the least thing about what is necessary for its possibility. And oftentimes, you see the antagonism towards religion lead scientists to the most unscientific and non-evidence-based theories just to avoid any seeming need for the first cause. One egregious example that comes to mind is Stephen Hawking saying, in defiance of the most basic principle of logic, that the universe just created itself. One could study the history of the contributions of the Church to all the branches of learning for years without exhausting all the information, but allow me to recommend three books, one long, one short, and one very short. The long one is called The Savior of Science by the late Father Stanley Jackie, a physicist and Benedictine priest. The short one is How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization by Thomas Woods. And the very short one is a booklet called Lumen, L-U-M-E-N, The Catholic Gift to Civilization by priest and particle physicist Father Andrew Pinsent.